Elizabeth is the first of our CDC crew.
All right, thank you. So I'm here to talk about the Integrated Food Safety Centers of Excellence, which is a CDC program that uses peer support to strengthen foodborne illness surveillance and outbreak response capacity. And before I get started, I want to get a quick sense of the room. So could anyone raise their hand if they've heard of the COEs before? Oh, that's awesome. You're probably going to get some repetition, but I'll do my best to reiterate what we've said before. All right. So the COE started with the Food Safety Modernization Act, or FSMA, which was signed into law in January of 2011. One component of this legislation required that CDC designate centers of excellence. I've pulled out some key pieces of the legislation here to really describe the main goal of this program. The COEs were designed to serve as resources for public health professionals that respond to foodborne disease outbreaks. And I've highlighted the word other here to draw your attention to what is really the key part of this program. Unlike other CDC programs that you hear about later in this presentation, the COEs are funded to help other health departments rather than building their own internal capacity for foodborne illness. So there are six centers of excellence throughout the country. FSMA required that CDC designate five centers. So in 2012, through a competitive application process, Colorado, Florida, Minnesota, Oregon, and Tennessee were added to the program. In 2015, a second competitive application process was put into place, and New York joined the program to fill a gap in that part of the country. As was directed in the legislation, each COE is a collaboration between a state health department and at least one academic institution. To meet the goals of the program, the COEs focus their efforts in these four key areas. They strengthen and improve foodborne illness surveillance, outbreak investigations, and information systems in other jurisdictions by providing consultations and developing tools and resources. They evaluate and analyze the timeliness and effectiveness of foodborne illness surveillance and outbreak response, and perform program evaluation, quality improvement, and other special projects. They train and educate students and public health personnel in laboratory, epidemiology, and environmental health investigations. And they disseminate and communicate about available tools and resources for foodborne illness surveillance and outbreak response. The work of the COEs can broadly be divided into two categories, and the first are these services that they provide. These are tailored, personalized support that they give to specific health departments. These can be one-on-one consultations, peer-to-peer mentorships, or in-person trainings. I've listed a few examples of these services at the bottom of the slide. And one of the key things here to remember is that these are tailored to meet the particular needs of a health department at that time. These services can be delivered in a number of ways. A COE can travel to another health department, or another health department can travel to a COE, or they can be remotely services through email or phone calls. These services have varied from in-depth ongoing mentorships to one-time quick support. So I'm just going to give a few quick examples of some of these services that the COEs have done. So one example is the work that Minnesota has done with the Chicago Department of Public Health. This is an ongoing mentorship that began when Minnesota facilitated a C4 toolkit training in Chicago. And for those of you that might not be familiar, C4 assesses a jurisdiction's outbreak detection and investigation procedures and helps them implement the C4 guidelines. And some of you might have been at the C4 roundtable that was held this morning. This mentorship led to a series of in-person and remote consultations and trainings between Minnesota and Chicago. And this included travel both ways from Minnesota to Chicago and Chicago to Minnesota, because both of these directions of travel can be beneficial, so both sides see the details of day-to-day operations firsthand. And Minnesota continues to support Chicago by providing tools and guidance in outbreak investigations. The second example is the work that Alabama has done, or Florida has done, with the Alabama Department of Health. After recognizing that much of their workforce was undertrained, Alabama reached out to Florida to conduct an EpiReady training. And this is a team-based training that really promotes collaboration among the disciplines that investigate foodborne outbreaks. To maximize their impact, Florida not only conducted this EpiReady training, but they also trained staff in Alabama to be able to conduct this training themselves. And this empowers Alabama to be able to keep their staff trained even when new staff are added. And Florida continues to support Alabama in this effort. The final service that I'm going to describe is the work that Colorado has done to help the Utah Department of Health train their local health departments. Colorado has experience conducting several needs assessments, so they started by conducting a needs assessment in Utah to determine the particular needs of the local health departments in Utah. And since conducting that needs assessment, they've delivered trainings based on the specific needs of the health department. Colorado continues to support Utah in this effort. Before I move on, I've been mentioning the COEs, and who in this room is part of a COE? Okay, I'm just up here hoarding the stage, but they're the ones doing all this work, so I want to make sure they get their credit for doing this. So in addition to the services that they do, that second broad category that I talked about are the online products that they have developed. In contrast to the services, these are static products rather than tailored to the individual immediate needs of a health department. As I mentioned, the COEs have conducted needs assessments to determine gaps in training and resources. And these online products were developed to fill the gaps identified in those needs assessments. These products are training courses, videos, and other tools and resources. They're all available online and free to use. Again, I've put up a few examples at the bottom of the slide. And while these products aren't tailored to the immediate needs of a health department, they have been developed based on those needs assessments, so they have wide reach and they meet the needs that have been identified by numerous health departments. And there are over 100 products available free online at coefoodsafetytools.org. That's a very important website to remember. And like I said, there are over 100 products, so I don't have time to talk about all of them, but I will describe a few here. One is the Food Source Information Wiki that was developed by the Colorado COE. And this is a tool that provides rapid access to basic information on food production practices for outbreak responders. Articles cover key facts of a food item, any outbreaks or recalls, details of the production, consumption, food safety, and nutrition. Some recently added or updated articles include avocados, broccoli, and cantaloupe. Another product that has been developed by a few of the COEs are case series. These case series have been designed to be beneficial for both current public health students as well as the current workforce. And some of these case series are paper-based to be easy for printing and use that way, while others are online and interactive. The case series that the COEs have developed cover everything from local outbreaks to multi-state outbreaks. And they are also willing to work with other health departments to turn your outbreaks into case series. Another online product are the web courses that have been developed by the Tennessee COE. This is a series of courses that are designed to sort of mirror the EpiReady training that I described earlier to improve foodborne detection, outbreak, and response. There are three of the seven courses are currently available online. And in addition to finishing the four remaining courses, the Tennessee COE is developing a series of in-person activities that will build on the skills that are learned in the online courses. After completing these in-person activities that are designed to be done over about 6 months, a health department or whatever jurisdiction is doing this will have developed an outbreak response plan. The COEs have also developed many videos, and these cover a variety of topics. They are applicable to the public, current workforce, and students. And some of them are available in Spanish in addition to English, which is also helpful. And if anyone has really good eyes, you might notice that on the far right, that is Alice, our last speaker. And some of the topics covered in these videos are stool collection kits, just introductory information for new investigators, and interviewing skills. Another product that the Oregon COE has developed is the International Outbreak Museum, which is designed to inform current and future foodborne disease epidemiologists about notable outbreaks, food pathogen associations, and evolving methods of detection and response. Each outbreak includes a physical or photographic exhibit the basics of the outbreak and the significance of that particular outbreak. In addition to informing investigators, these exhibits can inform policymakers about the importance of foodborne disease and satisfy the curious public. The Outbreak Museum also has a physical location at the Oregon Division of Public Health, and visitors to Portland can arrange to have tours. The final product I'm going to talk about is the work the COEs have done with next-generation sequencing training for non-laboratorians. And this is a combined effort between multiple COEs as well as CDC that is being led by the New York COE. The need for training for whole genome sequencing for epidemiologists was identified in one of those needs assessments that I mentioned earlier. To provide this training, the COEs have developed a series of webinars and training modules that were rolled out this spring. They are also working on additional resources, including more webinars and some video conferencing training sessions. And the COEs can also provide personal consultation with specific questions. So there are a lot of services and products offered by the COEs, and I've only scratched the surface of a few of them, and we recognize that some people might be intimidated or overwhelmed after hearing about all of these. So we encourage people to reach out to their regional COE. The COEs have a role to serve as a navigator between the health departments in their region and the services and products of the COEs. The CDC website has contact information for all of the COEs, including their phone numbers and emails, to try to make this process as easy as possible. So it's a great program, but I feel the need to talk about some of the challenges in case any other topic area wants to implement a program like this. So the first is time shortages. There's never enough time in the day, and we want the COE staff to be working in their field so they're aware of the challenges and ways to address them. But this means that there isn't as much time to work on COE projects because they have their primary job at the state. The second challenge is travel restrictions. Not every state allows their staff to travel outside of the state borders, which is challenging when our program's focus is outside of the state. Travel also causes problems because there isn't enough staff always to have someone leave to go help someone else, and this is especially problematic for laboratorians and environmental health specialists. Politics can get in the way because not every state wants another state to come in and help them, and everyone has the authority within their borders to ask for that help. Funding is always a problem, and more funding might help with some of these other challenges, but as a COE, we have an additional funding challenge in that there is an unfunded mandate for research. Despite being mentioned in FSMA, the COEs have not conducted any research, and one reason being we don't have the money to do it, so we've prioritized other areas for the funding to go to. And the other additional funding problem with research is even if we were to get a bunch of money, the way the COEs are currently funded through a cooperative agreement does not allow for research. So if we got a bunch of money, we'd have to find a new way to get it out to them, which is easier said than done. And to address these challenges, the COEs have been really good about seeking additional funding sources and leveraging the support that they already have within their state. If you want to learn more about the COEs, you can check out our Twitter page, which is kept up to date with new activities. And we also release a quarterly newsletter, which is on the CDC website, which I have listed here. And that's all I have. So I think we have a few minutes for questions.
We have time for questions. Any questions for Elizabeth?
I know I started talking a little quicker at the end, so I'm sorry.